News Talk Saturday.
Now, where were you in the summer of 1988 and the summer of 1994? And have you looked for these particular goals on YouTube in recent years? I just think that you may have. The scorer of them, of course, was a man called Ray Houghton. He is, of course, a legend of Irish football, one of the country's most successful footballers, having won two FA Cups, two First Division titles at Liverpool, and, of course, a very famous goal against England in 1988, and, of course, another one against Italy. And he's joining me now. Ray Houghton, you're very welcome to the show.
Yeah, pleasure to be on with you.
It's great to have you. Listen, Ray, I've already kind of given the goal, but, of course, you have two of them that everyone remembers. Which one of the two is your favourite, or is it like two children you can't pick?
No, I can, yeah, okay. Absolutely. It's 1988, you know, the first time Ireland has ever qualified for a major tournament. We're up against the old enemy in England. I've not scored an international goal. And finally, I do it, and it's against the English opposition and, you know, our first ever win at a major competition itself. So when you factor that all in, it's absolutely incredible. There's no doubt the World Cup is a bigger competition for footballers. Of course it is, but that moment, and you always remember your first in life and many things, and certainly my first goal, Ireland's first win, it was absolutely incredible.
Now, give our listeners an idea of how many people still will come up to you about both that goal and the, like, how regular is it?
Well, particularly when I'm in Ireland, yeah, very much so. Maybe a little bit less recently. The older you get, you know, obviously the younger generation don't really know as much about the old times as they do about the present, and that's perfectly understandable. But yeah, still a lot of people that had come up to me and say, I remember where I was when you scored that goal. And I've been blamed for all sorts. I've been blamed for people having babies. I've been blamed for people splitting up. I've been blamed for smashing tellies. I've been blamed for all sorts of things that have gone on at that particular time. So it's just fascinating. And it's great that, you know, we've all still got those memories. You know, I say to young players when they're playing today, remember all the good times, because that's all you've got left when you finish playing. You know, your career's over with, you can't go back in time, but you can remember certain things that went on in your footballing career and those special moments, and 88 certainly was one of them.
Now, Ray, just for our listeners, give us the benefit of, just give us some of the background, how you ended up playing for Ireland in the first place, because you were born in Scotland, and just talk us through a little bit of the connection.
Yeah, well, my dad was born in Donegal, in Buncrana, so that's where my connection was. Strangely enough, I went and had a trial with Scotland Youth when I was 18. Andy Roxburgh was the manager at the particular time, and they deemed that I wasn't good enough, not ready, and I never heard from them again. So I'm often asked from people when they say, why did you choose Ireland over Scotland? And it's quite easy. Scotland never asked me to play for them. So it's not a very hard decision.
That settles that.
And it came down to Jack took over as manager. He came to watch John Aldridge in the semi-final of the Milk Cup, the League Cup as it is today. He obviously liked what you seen with John, and someone had told him about myself, and Jack came over and said to me, you know, he wanted me to come and be part of his first game against Wales. I asked him for a few days to think it over. He gave me, I think, about 12 hours. I got home about 2 o'clock in the morning from the game, and the phone went that morning from Jack to say, have you made your decision? And I said, well, after the few days you were going to give me. And he said, I can't wait. I want an answer. And I said, yes. And I've got to be honest, it was the best decision I made.
And had you ever, like, envisaged playing international? You obviously went for that trial with Scotland, but was international football even on your agenda, or were you very much club, and international was just something in the distance?
Even less than that. I was just about trying to become a professional footballer. You know, as a kid, I came down to London when I was 10, nearly 11, and I played locally for Islington Boys. And part of the deal when you played for Islington Boys, I mean, I played with Chrissy White, who played for Arsenal and Leeds United. I played with Chrissy Ramsey, who represented Brighton in the cup final against Manchester United. They were in my team when I was 11, 12 years of age. And part of the deal was you went and trained at Arsenal with the scholars. So I was either on a Tuesday or Thursday night. So I was training with them at the age of 11. But by the age of 13, I hadn't grown. I was very small for my age. And, you know, everyone would say to me, you're a good player, but, you know, your size is going to be a problem. And then I was released from Arsenal and didn't do anything until a scout picked me up from West Ham, who seen me, or heard about me. I hadn't even really seen me play. He heard about me from one of my mates who played in the same team as me, Dennis Phillips. Dennis got an opportunity at West Ham, and that's how I got my chance. Pure luck, absolute luck. And then from there, obviously, went on to other clubs, Fulham, Oxford, and eventually on to Liverpool and Villa.
Well, as a Spurs fan, I can tell you, Arsenal will always let you down, Ray. You should have known that, right? I could have told you that at the time. Talk to me a little bit about Jack, your first impressions. Obviously, you knew him from 1966 and he was this big looming presence. But when you met him personally, what did you think of him?
Oh, your character. Listen, there's very few people who you meet in your life who stand out. He was one of them. Kenny Dalglish was the other. If you walked into your room and they were in there, all focus of attention would be on them. They've just got that magnetism about them. You know, they've just got this effect on people. Jack had that. You know, whenever he would enter into a room, whether it would be, you know, in England or in Ireland, he just knew everyone would turn around. I actually went to an event with him. He was doing a talk near where I live, and it was a West Ham area. And obviously, he's the Ireland manager. You know, he's Leeds in England. And I thought, how's he going to get away with this? And I tell you what, all he spoke about was Bobby Moore, Martin Peters, and Jeff Hurst, and he went down an absolute storm. And that's typical of Jack. He always said to me, read the room. He was very, very astute when it came to things like that. And he was a very astute manager. He knew how to galvanise the players together to get them to go out there and play as one. And that was down to him. He was the organiser, the leader who started it all. And then we all bought into it.
Now, some people weren't initially happy with his style of football. We know he had issues with David O'Leary for years, but he played you a lot. Like, you were chosen a lot. So it sounds like you clicked with him straight away, and the brand of football, you were able to kind of integrate into it.
Yeah, I mean, it was very much. I mean, it was more difficult for your central midfielders and your defenders because he didn't like you putting, as he would call it, putting the ball at risk. So he didn't want you to play from the defence into the midfield. And when you got players like Roddy Whelan and Liam Brady, two outstanding players at their clubs and internationally, and what they were so used to was getting the ball from the back. You know, they wanted to get on it because they were better than virtually everyone else in possession of the ball. And all of a sudden, you couldn't do that. You know, under Jack's philosophy, it was turn the opposition, press them high up the pitch, because he had a belief and an understanding that, you know, far too often in international football, when you lost the ball, all everyone did was just return to the halfway line and allowed the opposition to come forward at their leisure. And he didn't want that. He wanted them put under pressure. And it worked in our favour because there were so many teams we played against who were just caught out with it. They were like, wow, what's happening here? We're not used to this. And then obviously it was get the ball in behind, which was great for wingers like myself, Tony Galvin and Kevin Sheedy. We were having a lot of the ball in the wide areas and delivering it into the box for our strikers to try and score some goals. So, yeah, and that final third, you were given license to do what you want from Jack, but we'll be tied if you give the ball away in midfield or defence. He would certainly let you know about it.
Yeah, I can imagine. Not too diplomatic, I wouldn't have thought. Let's go to your 1994 goal. I mean, a lot of people always ask, and of course, Terry Phelan, you know, getting in the way as you were celebrating there, grabbing you very proprietorially. But a lot of people say, did he mean it or not? And I have to get the answer.
Oh, I mean, that's a very good question. Do you know what? It was one of them occasions where, you know, the ball was played downfield. I think it was Baresi, for once in his career, made a mistake. He headed it straight out. I anticipated where it was going. And my initial reaction was to try and play it to Steve Staunton on the left wing, but Stevie was marked. So I had no real options, and I just thought, hit it. Why not? You know, it doesn't matter. You know, if it goes over the bar, it goes over the bar. If it goes wide, it goes wide. And my actions and reactions were, when I first hit it, I thought, that's going over. My second thought was, the keeper's going to save it. And the last one was probably the least likely one, which was actually going in. And when I hit the back of the net, I was like, what do I do now? Because after the game, I was asked about my celebration. Someone said, you know, the journalist said to me, why did you do that celebration? And I can honestly say, hand on heart, I didn't know I'd done what I'd done. I had no clue about it at all. And I said, what are you on about? I said, all I do when I score, I just put my hand up. You know, I've always done that. Not that I scored that many, but when I did, that's what I did. I put my hand up, nothing more. But I don't know why I did what I did. My reaction was to go over to my family, because in the build-up to the game, there was a lot of people that were questioning whether I was going to play or not. You know, I've gone from an absolute regular, nailed on virtually every game, to will he play, won't he play? And that was down to Jason McAteer coming into some form. So then, obviously, when I got the nod to play, and then I wanted to go and celebrate it with not only my teammates and the fans, but my wife and some family members were there, and some friends had come over for it. And they're the ones, when you're going through tough times, that have your back. You know, they're the ones who get you through certain situations. So I wanted to go and celebrate it with them, but it was very emotional. And obviously, because of the stadium being like 70% Irish on
Giant
the day,
Stadium, New York,
it was just incredible.
And the Italian goalie, he just came an inch or two forward from his line, which left you a nice little gap, I think.
To be fair, I'd love to say that I've seen that, but I'm not going to lie. I just hate it. It was one of them things in football you think, go on, just try it, see what happens. Yeah. And, you know, when you see it hit the back of the net, and then look at the reaction, not of just me, have a look at the reaction of my teammates, from Terry Feeling to Roy Keane, to Andy Towns, everyone who came around me at that particular time, they knew it was a huge moment in the game, because it gave us, obviously, the advantage of 1-0, and then we had something to hang on to. And we could actually have got more goals in the second half.
Even Roy looked happy, you know. It's not always the case on the pitch. Let me talk to you a little bit about Jack Charlton himself. He passed away during COVID, not from COVID, but during that period, which was very sad, because he probably didn't get the full celebration that he would have got in marking of his passing here in Ireland. I mean, we're coming up to various anniversaries around this. Do you think, like, well, everyone adores him, and there's the odd mural here and there, but I mean, there's not much public sort of marking of Jack's legacy. Would you think that's fair?
I would like to see something done in the next few weeks. We know we've got a massive qualifier coming up against Czechia on the 26th of March, I think it is. And it's round about this time, it would be the 40th anniversary of Jack taking over, or his first game. He took over in 85 at the end. I think it was round about November, December time. And then his first game was against Wales. So it's around about this time. And I think it would be fitting for the FAI to do something in his memory, you know, whether it would bring his family members over or whatever the case may be. But just to recognise what he'd done, because he changed, there's no doubt, he changed the perspective of football in Ireland. You know, we went from a team that nearly qualified and had some absolutely fantastic players, but didn't quite go over the line. But he did that. He got an Irish team over the line, and you know, he brought I think a passion and a desire from players and supporters. You just have a look at the numbers that was going to the tournaments from 88 to 90 to 94. In 92, we missed out without losing a game. We never lost a game in 92 in the qualifiers, and we still won. England just picked us to top spot. There was only one that went through. So that's how difficult it was back then.
Yeah.
And how good we were as a side, that we, you know, every competition we were going in for, we were there or thereabouts.
I suppose we have this big game against Czechia in about just over a month's time. Before I ask you about that, just one other thing that's sort of bubbling here is this Nations League campaign, the draw with Israel. I mean, where do you stand on that? Should these games go ahead, or where's your head at?
I don't think you get any winners out of it, I've got to be honest. You know, it's just one of them situations where, you know, should you play the game or not? There'll be plenty who say you should, and there'll be even more that will say that you shouldn't. So it's an extremely difficult position. You don't know what you're doing, if you're doing right from wrong. I feel for everyone who's concerned in making the judgment call on it. And I'll just wait and see what develops. You know, I think it's a very difficult decision to be made. Whether the government should get involved a little bit more in it rather than just leaving it to the FAI, I'm not sure. I don't really know enough about it personally to make that call and what they should do and where everyone stands. But I'm sure there's plenty that think they should take the moral high ground and not play the game. I don't know. I don't know what's right from wrong, to be honest.
Ray, you're as good a footballer as you are a diplomat. I understand it's a difficult, it's just kind of
it's so difficult. Yeah, you're never going to please everyone with the decision that you make, and you know, you've just got to be as upfront as you can be, and be as diplomatic as you can be, I'm sure.
Listen, we've got some great games ahead. Thank you for talking to us today. We'll see how we get on against Czechia. And then if there's a game against Denmark, that Jack Charlton idea then might come to fruition. It might be a nice way to put the two together. So we'll see how we get on. But thanks for all your service to Ireland over the years, the football team, and your, of course, commentary and punditry as well. Ray Hatton, thank you for joining us on News Talk Saturday.
Thank you.
News Talk Saturday.